Cecil.
Cecil, madam, Cecil.
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 What?
I found these dice down in the hotel lobby. I was wondering if they might be yours.
What would I want with dice?
I don't know. You gamble sometimes.
Gambling, you say?
Well, they aren't just used for gambling. Most people use them for tabletop games and such.
Less interested.
In fact, did you know you can get wonderful dice like this at metallicdicegames.com?
Not really.
And did you know that the Rancor's Brothel can help you get 10% off on your order?
10% off a brothel?
No. 10% off your order at metallicdicegames.com, silly. And it's not really a brothel.
Countless email inquiries continue to suggest otherwise.
Just use their code RBP10 at checkout and you can get 10% off your order.
RBP10?
That's right, RBP10 at checkout at metallicdicegames.com.
I'd rather have the brothel.
Oh, you. Come on, we need to catch up with the others.
Fine. By the way, did you ever find that mangy dog of yours?
You know, I haven't yet.
Oh, look, a taco stand.
The Rancor's Brothel presents... A Dungeons & Dragons Adventure. Nev Thelian.
I'll say, all right, fine. Go get her, big guy, and I will dispel the wall.
Okay. Muriel's up next.
Didn't you have the giant with a ready to action?
Yeah, I suppose I did.
He wouldn't still have a ready to action, I don't think. It's only ready to the end of the round.
It's not been his turn again yet.
It's to the start of your turn.
So, it's going to go ahead and swing its great axe at the vampire spawn right in front of it twice. A 24 to hit, and a 13. So, one of those is going to connect. Ooh, that vampire spawn is in for a world of hurt as that axe connects. Doesn't kill it, but it puts a very deep wound in its shoulder blade. Then Muriel's turn. Actually, before it's Muriel's turn, at the end of Kellen's turn, Muriel will take a legendary action to go forward in a burst of speed. And then, on his turn proper, will move over right here next to where the Frozen Herald is sort of blocking the doorway forward, and then just sort of walks onto the railing and walks sideways, horizontally, along the railing past you all, and then jumps onto, through the doorway at the back.
What kind of Matrix shit is this?
Vampire shit. We're going to have to split between two maps before too long. Depending on who goes where, I suppose. A moment later, a different vampire spawn pops up from below the stacks. Just sort of runs up and then jumps down right in front of the Frozen Herald and is going to... let's see. What's preferable? Claws or bite or sword?
All of the above.
I think probably the claws actually do the most damage. So yeah, it lunges forward with bite and claws.
The claws.
The claw. That's a crit. That's a lot of damage.
How much damage was it, Dave?
A damaging amount of damage.
A lot.
The first attack did more than 3 times what the second one did. But they did both hit. And then it's Alex's turn, and you no longer have a force field around you.
A couple of questions, Rook.
Sure.
Is Claw created by magic, technically?
First of all, I would save it until we know for sure we can get it. We can get close enough and do it.
I know, but it's still a pertinent question.
It is.
Impertinent.
I mean, constructs are magical from a sense, right?
What about Rook?
Constructs are created by magic.
He's a Boy Scout. He'll take the noble sacrifice. It's fine.
So the general understanding is that things that are created by magic are not necessarily magical in terms of having to be sustained by it. Like things with golems, it's a little more open to debate, I guess. And Warforged. Like, it's a good question. Like, is magic continuing to keep you moving? Like, is every move you make magical? I now have the police stuck in my head.
Do I need magic for my heart to beat? Like, if I cast a spell magic on myself, is that like eating a gun?
Or does the magic just get you going? And then from that point on, like, I think probably for the sake of D&D mechanics, it's just created by magic is separate from sustained by magic. Because there's no active effect. No one's holding concentration to keep you moving. It's something that happened once in the past.
Every step you take.
That is unfortunate.
Unfortunate?
Yes.
How far away did Muriel get away from like where my position is at the moment?
About 60 feet away. Right back down like the end of the hall where the entry to the plaza.
Then I will run after him.
Her?
No.
Muriel.
Muriel is like pretty much directly behind you.
Okay. Then I will kind of turn to him and like whisper in his ear, if I can get close enough to her, anti-magic field might make her vulnerable to death, theoretically.
Muriel sort of keeps stalking along, but sort of says, interesting theory. You sort of get the impression that as long as it doesn't get in his way, he doesn't care what you do.
Right, but like I'm trying to press on the fact that like going after her right now is only going to get you killed.
I mean, maybe. She, for someone who's fucking invulnerable, she sure does walk away from fights a whole lot. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there.
Well, again, there was a wall that she could not get through, so why stick around and just...
But she just walked out of Nephthelion. We're currently not in Nephthelion.
Or are you?
It's clearly extra planar.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When banishment tried to shift her to an extra planar space...
In Nephthelion. I don't know that we're in Nephthelion right now.
Well, you just said we probably are. I don't know.
Okay. So, that being that, Vampire Spawn is up.
Well, that conversation probably took that amount of time, so.
It's free action to talk as long as you don't exchange more than whatever.
Well, it's that, and I would want to conversate with Rook as well.
Almost like you should have made a plan before you started stuff.
Keep your distance.
But don't look like you're trying to keep your distance.
Gotta be cool. Be cool.
Cast casual.
Walk casually.
Can I ready a move action?
Yes.
Essentially, like, if Muriel, like, continues to stalk after Mavariel, I will follow him.
Okay. I will follow him. The undead dude here is actually going to take the disengage action and sort of push past you all and go back into the hall as it's clear that, oh no, I am too far from who I'm supposed to be protecting. And that being the case, probably everyone here, I don't think anyone else here is in the library, is fighting each other at the moment. So we can probably just move to the other map, which may take a moment to set up. And one annoying thing about Foundry that I've found so far is that I can't make things bright for me while they're still dark for you, which means moving around tokens and figuring out where everything is can be a little annoying in the dark.
So the consensus online seems to be that...
Oh, about constructs?
Yeah, Warforged have a soul instilled upon them, and so are alive creatures. Constructs, similarly, while magic created them, they're not summoned creatures that are still there by magic. That, like, it puts them into running, but it from that point on, the gears are turning.
No, but the question that I need answered specifically is, are Warforged created by magic?
Initially.
Okay. They are not... They are not impacted by anti-magic fields.
And more directly, to the point, Jeremy Crawford himself said, sure, Warforged can walk right into an anti-magic field.
That was the wrong button.
Because by that simple line, created by magic.
Well, yeah, but you cast fabricate to create a hammer. That hammer can go into an anti-magic field because it's a real hammer now. Rook's a real boy.
I would argue that it shouldn't be able to.
Yeah.
Even regardless if it's a real hammer now, it still was an object created by magic.
Right, but it's not sustained by magic.
It's not what that spell says.
Yeah, the D&D Sage Advice clarifies it's more about active spells and ongoing spell effects.
I mean, Pipsqueak's going to get dumb again, but...
Yeah.
So yeah, summoned and conjured creatures where their existence continues to be so long as the spell continues would blink out.
So, cognizant of the fact that we're doing radio, I'm trying to figure out how to make this not a log with more participation from y'all. Any thoughts?
I mean, I don't think it's on you, the fact that we were like, let's see Dave's NPCs go at each other.
Well, I mean, if you want to narratively describe what happens, that's fine. I mean,
if we're going to step back and observe, if you want to skip the mechanics of it and just narratively...
If you want to describe the epic duel between Malvariel and Miriel, that's fine.
You literally put me, in my opinion, in a situation between one NPC that seems uber powerful and another NPC that seems uber powerful, and you didn't think my general goal was to make them fight each other and sit back and watch? Because that was my
point. I might participate.
I mean, I'm
based off what?
Fair point.
I'm looking to participate, but I'm totally going to let Miriel take that first big shot. I really like Troy's idea of using the anti-magic field to try and cancel out the curse and take her down standing in the middle of it. So if we can let Miriel get a couple shots in and then we charge in to try and help.
How long does that take you to cast?
10 minutes.
Oh God, I didn't look at that.
It's an action.
Yeah,
it is. Okay.
600 rounds. Put up the counter.
We're playing everyone out.
It is one action. It is one concentration up to an hour. So long as you can stay out of harm's way and keep that spell up, because you only got one, right?
Right. But see, the thing about out of harm's way is it's on me. So I have to be within 10 feet of her.
Exactly. I get that.
So I'm in harm's way. Like.
I mean, I'll tell Claw to stand next to you and guard you.
But I don't know how much power she's going to have standing in the middle of an anti-magic field.
True.
Yes, Cody?
She come talk to me.
Why?
I help you out.
How do I know that?
How? Cast a spell on him?
In an anti-magic field?
Not in an anti-magic field. Before an anti-magic field.
That's going to stay in effect in an anti-magic field?
No, but you can get close. I think Dave needs to set the scene before you make too many decisions. For all I know, she's run back to her horde of 9,000 fucking things, and this right. is the goddamn, you know... She's run back to fucking Helm's Deep, though I tried to trap her in a 1v1 fight. 1v7, but it didn't really matter.
Yeah, I mean, Cody kind of stuck us in the Obi-Wan hallway scene from episode 1, and... We're watching this, and we're trying to catch up. So, if you want to narrate what we're seeing as we're trying to catch up, go for it. And then we can deal with combat once we get there.
It will take you a couple rounds to run down the hallway back into the plaza.
Yeah, I'm assuming vampire speed and...
Well, the other thing is that they both have legendary actions.
Right. We're watching all this shit happen before
and
we can even get there.
Both of them can loot, use legendary actions to move.
Because if either one of them have, say, 9,000 hit points, I'd like them to chunk each other down about 8,700 before I get involved with the fight or more. Because I don't give a fuck about a fair fight.
Do you know what the highest hit pointed creature in D&D is?
There are some that are 1,000.
The ones
that
I decide.
If you want to get real old school on it, you could go to like 3rd Ed when they got the epic player's handbook I and think you get the, some things with like dots and stuff.
I think the raw answer is going to be the Tarrasque, probably.
Yeah.
Most likely.
But you can get some... When they start doing the epic level player's epic handbook, herbal. Where they took you from 20 to 30,
ooh.
They did some real fucking crazy... Like,
I really like the epic level handbook. I used a force dragon once. They're really cool.
Mm-hmm. There's some like... It takes D&D to another level. Like, you literally fight gods.
Literally.
Think about it. If I get to 25, then, like, Meteor Swarm is a fairly common spell that I cast, so...
Well, also, here's the other thing, is that 3.5 actually had rules for epic level spellcasting. And hot shit, it was amazing.
The Tarrasque is notorious as the creature with the most hit points of all featured in... Of all those featured in the Monster Manual, 676. The only other official monster with a challenge rating of 30 is Tiamat, the evil dragon goddess.
That's probably because the other ones aren't statted out.
Yeah, they do deliberately not stat some of them.
I mean, what is it? What's the orc god? Orcus or whatever. I'm sure Orcus isn't stat out.
Orcus is the demon lord of the undead.
Orcus is in Mordenkainen's.
Yeah, he's in Out of the Abyss. Grumsh is the orc god.
Whatever. Fuck them.
Okay, so actually, how a lot of this goes is going to hinge on some rolls, actually. So, you are all running down the hallway towards the plaza, as you can see Muriel in his vampiric form scurrying ahead of you, occasionally going down on all fours and moving frighteningly fast.
See, goes down.
I am curious to know.
Muriel,
he's a villain, not a hero.
Mevalriel, ahead of him, is sort of running at a normal speed, but then occasionally just sort of teleports forward and blinks ahead.
Now, behind us, are the vampire servants fighting the giant? Or
they're also following, but the giant undead creature is also following you. So basically everyone is coming down this hallway.
Okay.
Scooby-Doo trainer.
Yes.
Everyone exactly is following Mevalriel and Muriel. Because both of them, like both sides, their entire goal is to protect their respective masters. So just fighting each other doesn't really accomplish that.
Does Yakety...
You little shit, if you cast Grease, I swear to God.
I was just getting ready to ask Dave if Yakety Sax counts as a simple sound. Because Kelly's flying on... Doors start opening. Navario pops out, closes the door, open it up. Will I turn Dave's last goddamn epic session into a fucking Scooby-Doo? Yes, I will.
Well, partial to this myself.
We catch Marielle and lift up the vampire mask, and it's his elf form underneath.
I thought about Grease. I really, really did. Not on my spell list. Unfortunate.
What if we lift the masks on both Mario and Mavariel, and it's the Iron and Rose Masters underneath?
They would have gotten away from it if it weren't for you meddling kids. So you're all running pell-mell down this hallway. The two of them obviously make it into the plaza sooner, and Mavariel is moving back toward her throne. Muriel follows, makes it onto the steps of the what you call it, the library, basically the entrance to it. Before Mevalriel sort of turns, holds out a hand and mutters something quickly, and then whether or not how this goes is going to depend very much on whether or not he makes this save.
Is
he
it
does
from a
make that
piano falling from the ceiling?
This whole time, she's just been a charlatan. Like, she didn't want us to hurt her because she actually can die. She's just trying to trick us.
Mavelio sort of stumbles as he goes down the stairs, puts a hand up to his head, but then keeps running.
You done fucked up, A.A. Ron.
Mavelio makes it into the corridor that leads up to her throne, where it starts getting icy and such. Muriel keeps chasing. And by this point, y'all have probably made it into the steps or so of the library. So let me make sure your tokens are all on there.
It's very dark
in
here.
Oh, there we are.
Does anyone need any like torches added to them? Like, is Rook doing a light thing again?
Well, I gave myself dark vision goggles, so I should have that on just permanently. And Claw also naturally has dark vision, but I'm seeing nothing but black in this map now.
Okay. 60-30?
Yes, I believe so. Okay, Claw's got vision too.
I mean, they're both villains, right?
I really enjoy that question.
He says, looking at the holy man. I mean, at this point, I don't really care what the answer is. I'm just posing it philosophically.
There's a lot of gray area there.
The skeletons around Muriel begin sort of closing in on him as he's running after Mevalriel. And he stumbles a little bit again as he's running across, but then still keeps running. We'll give this, like, probably one more chance.
How's it work with, can you raise undead that have been... if you kill undead, can you re-raise them?
No.
Okay.
Damn, he's rolled the same thing every time.
I'm saying there's a lot of dead undead on the floor around us in there.
Dead undead. Dead undead and dead undead and dead.
Or does... Did the deads cancel out and they're just un?
They just go and they disappear in a poof of logic.
To the void with ye.
there's like a whole group of about 8 or 10 people that are just sort of running after. And then you start getting into skeletons and then it gets more complicated. Because those skeletons are not exactly going to let the vampires just walk past. And a few of them are going after Muriel as well, but, you know, they're slow and he's not, so that won't work out real well for them. But the skeletons are coming down and sort of blocking the stairway up to where Mevalriel's throne is and sort of closing into ranks.
Can we see any of this or no?
You can, theoretically. Yeah. Where's your token?
Is Grandmama... Grandmama was amongst the book stacks. Are they still in the other... Or no, it's not Grandmama. Sorry. Bullshit Wizard was amongst the book stacks. Are they still in the other map?
Oh. No, I just hadn't moved his token yet.
Oh, okay. There you go, Cody.
There you go. Yep.
I would like to step to the side away from the giant and the vampires and not be part of the same group.
I'm not with them. Promise.
Precisely.
Okay.
I do want to try something.
Okay, what's that?
The largest fireball you've ever seen.
No, where's the herald at?
About 20 feet in front of you.
Excellent. When I'm allowed to have a turn, can it make a charisma save, please?
Sure. Anything special for the fact that it's undead or not?
No, it needs to be undead for this.
Oh, okay, 13.
It doesn't beat mine. Hey, go kill your buddies.
So you're referring to the skeletons in this case?
Yes.
Okay. So beyond the skeletons...
I guess I should say it doesn't have a massive intelligence, does it? I can't use it if it has a massive intelligence. It seemed really... So...
Its intelligence is massive. Actually, it does. It is. It's got a decent number.
Oh.
It's got a PC normal number.
Is it a PC with a zero or a plus?
What's the restriction?
It has to be 8 or less.
It is not 8 or less.
Well, I don't know that if I don't ask the question.
It's fair, yeah.
Well, then ask a specific
question. It has advantage on the save.
Oh, that's what...
If it is a 12 or higher, it can repeat the save every hour.
Okay, so it can just roll again, basically, because it has high intelligence?
Yes, it gets advantage.
Okay, gotcha. All right, well then I will try again. We'll see what it gets.
Roll like shit.
I rolled a 5.
Go attack your buddies!
You're telling this to who?
The
frozen herald.
Herald.
Okay. Herald.
Yeah. Herald. Herald can clear... plow the road.
Hide your pain, Herald. Go attack your buddies.
I want my goddamn Super Saiyan...
The glowing blue eyes get
Super
slightly
Saiyan
sad.
Fight.
But there's still a smile on his face.
There you go, Dave. One of the larger
rictus
mooks...
Rictus of death.
One of the larger mooks can fight all the smaller mooks now.
Great word, rictus. All right, so beyond it, you know, so Muriel rushes in.
Only fools do that.
And Mevalriel has sort of ascended to her throne at this point, and is sort of waiting for him and has her Zweihander ready. And the two of them just start going at it in melee, the sword going back and forth very quickly. She looks like she knows how to use the thing, despite her slight frame. And Muriel, similarly, moving back and forth with vampiric speed, getting in lots of quick bites and heavy claw scratches all over. And Mevalriel is definitely the more frail of the two. And maybe I should wait for my narration until someone's back.
I don't see any angels in here. So, yeah. Fools rushing in.
Yeah. I thought you were doing another Batman going down on a woman thing there. I wasn't sure what you were doing there.
No.
Angels, what? I didn't get it.
He said fools rush in.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to cut you off because you were talking, but I was going to follow up with where angels fear to tread.
Oh. That's a phrase?
Fools rush in where angels fear to tread, yeah.
I feel like I may have heard it before, but if so, a long time ago. And,
yeah. It's an old phrase.
Yeah.
But it checks out.
It's the root of fools rush in. Or it's the, you know what I mean.
Origin.
Yeah.
But I was picking up what you were putting down, Cody.
Don't ask why the probably least musical person in the room is constantly trying to make the musical lyric references, but I am trying.
Oh, is it a lyric? Is that where it's coming from?
That's what I was.
I think it's a song, but I think the song comes from the phrase, and
I'm sure it does.
The phrase probably comes from some piece of literature at some point in time.
Proverbs.
Oh, yeah, really old literature.
Well, really old literature, like the Bible,
not Proverbs.
It's got its own Wikipedia article. So, Alexander Pope in a 1711 poem, an essay on criticism.
So the Pope said it, which is like the Bible. It would have been funnier if
no,
I said
not
so.
The Pope,
which is kind of the same thing.
Actually, that works on both levels,
right?
That's what
it's
I was
Alexander
like. I
should just... Pope, right?
So your takeaway from that is exactly what English teachers everywhere fear from people using Wikipedia.
No, I'm just making shit up to go along. That's how I got through college.
Okay, Dave, proceed with your narrative.
Sorry about this, Schroeder.
Yeah, how did we get on this tangent? Because I left?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. And I apologize for the atrocities that were just...
I was going to describe things, but you would have wanted to have been here for the things.
Yeah, sorry.
So, you know.
There are so many atrocities that have occurred in your bathroom here.
I didn't know where you were going with that. I didn't expect it to go there, but I mean... My son uses that bathroom, so like I don't use it, so just keep in mind that a 4-year-old has to find whatever you leave, so clean up after yourself.
Just to be known though, I did not pee on the wall. Just I still have yet to do that, Matt.
Okay, so as the frozen herald begins battering at the skeletons blocking his way, and the vampire spawn seem confused, but also they're totally there for this shit, and also batter at the skeletons blocking their way. Beyond them, in the throne room, the chamber, the Elm Chamber, you can see Mevalriel and Muriel duking it out, and Muriel seems to have the upper hand. And in, you know, 30 seconds or so after the... back and forth goes on for a little bit, with one long slash of the claws across the throat, Mevalriel drops down onto her throne, like her head cracking on the ice as she falls, and blood begins pooling on the ice. Muriel takes several steps down, like goes back down the stairs, and sort of like looks up at the throne, obviously sort of waiting to see what happens. And within a handful of seconds after she falls and lays still on the ice, from somewhere up in the corner of the room, a ethereal ghostly chain sort of suddenly appears and strikes like one of her legs and sort of like wraps itself around. After another handful of seconds, another chain appears and comes and hits another limb. And then again and again until there are like four chains wrapped around her. And then they sort of lift the corpse up, set it back on its feet. And she opens her eyes and says, "Where were we?"
Hot.
Kinky.
Whips and chains. Handcuffs!
I could have sworn I've seen that before.
Hey, I've got handcuffs.
Could you?
Hmm?
Where from?
From being sworn in the video game. Divinity.
Oh, there are ghostly chains in the game, but I don't think they do that effect.
Some of them do. Yeah.
I thought
when you kill Sallow Man, that's what happens to him, and then he comes back up.
Oh, yeah.
You're not as original and clever as you thought you were.
I just think it looks cool.
It does look cool.
Yeah.
I appreciate the description.
Dave's gotten a few really good descriptions that remind me of that game, and the music is in his playlist and everything like that.
Well,
I really
love that game.
I turned to Rook.
I've got about 600 hours in it.
Do you have bolt cutters?
No, but... I can.
Give me a minute.
Muriel sort of backs down the hall a little bit, and he's a vampire. You can sort of, even from this distance, you can sort of see some of his wounds sealing themselves back up, too. And over his shoulder, he calls back out towards you. Any ideas?
Yeah, I gave you one, but you went ahead anyways.
I mean, they're
all
fighting.
You fell behind.
I'm just going to fly over the top of them. Like, there's no need to, like... This big guy is probably going to take out most of the skeletons, so, I mean...
Yeah, are we just standing back watching, or...?
A few of them are dead by now. I'll go ahead and mark that.
And that's true. We do have flying boots.
Flying bits?
Boots.
Oh, boots.
Boots.
But I guess, technically, they do have flying bits as well.
What if only your bits could fly and not the rest of you?
That would be problematic.
Is the lift enough to get the rest of the body up? Because, I mean, you could fly that way. It would just be really awkward looking. Could you fly everywhere dick and balls first?
And they fly by doing a little helicopter motion.
Nice.
Oh, no.
Woo!
You spin me right round, baby, right round.
Nushka's going to lean down to Pipsky and say, I want you to stick close to Kellen once we get in there. I need you to stay away from Alec.
All right.
I'm just going to stay back and observe.
All right. Should we actually be running on initiative at this point?
Whenever you're ready for that.
Oh, if you're ready to make a move.
Hey, have you shared your plan with us?
That's a good question.
I mean, yeah, I suppose as we were running in, I would have...
He just screams Plan B and runs at her like, you ever played Serious Sam, those suicide bomber guys who just go, ah! Just basically like that.
Would you like to be invisible?
I mean, I suppose that would help.
Would you like to be a T-Rex?
An invisible T-Rex.
I mean, that's not necessarily helpful to the situation. I just think it's cool.
I don't think you can cast spells as a T-Rex.
I was going to say, I think that prevents me from doing other things.
But it would be so cool.
I mean,
make somebody else a T-Rex.
If your mental facilities are still you, right? As a T-Rex,
and you could
cast it and then be turned into a T-Rex.
And if the verbal component is something a T-Rex mouth could form and you don't need a somatic, even with somatic, you'd have every little claw hand going...
I'm going to go ahead and opt out of that.
It's always on the table.
I will touch cast invisibility on you as you're walking past me, though.
Okay.
We've hardly done anything. I've already used all my second level spell slots.
Wow. Invisible is not one of the default conditions on here.
Hey, Dennis Detweiler liked one of our tweets.
Really silly.
Really?
He likes most of our Impossible Landscapes tweets.
Nice. I never get on Twitter anymore.
He's a good guy.
It's a depressing place.
It is, in fact, that. It is a most wretched hive of scum and villainy. I'd rather be at Mos Eisley than on Twitter. I'm honest. Even though people fucking die in Mos Eisley.
Okay. So, you got your plan ready? Anyone want to be in any specific positions before the plan starts?
No, not necessarily.
I do have a decent spell to try and trap her, too, so,
I mean, yeah.
You got boots, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because it's kind of a... It's kind of a Newton plan. Let's throw it that way.
Okay.
Newton as in the measurement of force?
Also, yes.
If Rook were to... I suppose you could see on your screen, Jim, but like, if I were to go like way around the group of skeletons and like kind of go up between these pillars over here...
Yeah, climb up the... what's the word? Portico.
It doesn't actually observe into the room because it's okay. I was thinking, could I observe what's going on in the room from over there? But not really. That's okay. I'm gonna make Alec invisible and then just hang back.
Oakley dokley.
Yes, Cody, lean back.
It wasn't a very good joke, so I wasn't gonna say it. I'm just.
You know, I about only 50% of my jokes land on the podcast, so. You can't hit if you don't try.
Better pilots.
Trust me, there are plenty of people who have worse averages than 50%.
Okay, so I guess we will go on initiative now. And Muriel is up. And for the moment, Muriel is just going to back up a little bit more and keep letting his wounds heal themselves. Steps into a doorway. Into one of the offices and just sort of hangs out in the doorway. Kellen.
Where is she at?
Mevoriel is sitting on her throne, essentially, at this point.
Oh, no, I was gonna float over there into that direction, see what's going on.
So you want to fly inward?
Oh, yeah, I don't want to f*** with all that shit on the ground. Absolutely not.
Okay, so you're flying?
Yes.
Okay. What's your fly speed?
Walk speed, I think, so 25.
Okay. Do you want to double move?
Yes.
Okay, because 25 will get you right above the heads of the skeletons. So
that seems like an unfortunate place to stop flying.
Yeah. 50 gets you to the door of the hallway that leads inwards. There are a couple skeletons there, but they're below you and probably out of reach.
Sup, BB?
Alec?
I'm going to do the same.
Okay, you've got also a flying mechanism.
Yeah, but mine's 30.
Ooh.
Suck it!
You get 5 feet ahead of Kellen.
I should get 10 feet ahead of Kellen.
Correct. You double moved.
Right, but you were slightly behind.
I should have been in front.
I suppose.
It's where I had you on the map, dude.
I suppose. I was leading the charge.
All right, fine. I'll put you 5 feet forward. Good job.
Pit trap.
In the air.
I mean, you know.
Good old air pits.
Oh, yeah, air pits.
It's like a black hole pit trap.
Nushka, what do you want to do? There is a gap in the line where you could probably run through. You could either disengage first or you could just take the opportunity attacks.
You also can fly.
I did go ahead and move.
Not with Pipsky.
Claw up onto the...
Thought you were leaving him behind.
That claw...
No, I want her... About. I want... Sorry.
That was... I'm done.
Okay. No, I want her in there to stay near Kellen.
I like how you gave her that direction and Kellen goes, phew, flying over the entire line of combatants.
Stay near Kellen.
What the fun near. Shit.
Yeah. Like 50 feet's good, right?
Are you flying too, or?
No. They'll both get an attack of opportunity at me if they're going to take it.
Yeah, okay. So some scimitars are going to come in towards you, and chances are they're missed, but we'll find out.
I'll take the dodge action. Pipsky is dashing.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Then you wouldn't get a tax of opportunity on her, I don't think.
Not on Pipsky, right? Or, well, wait. Disengage is what lets you not take opportunity.
I know, I'm trying to think what the... Whoa, that's messed up.
I mean, I suppose he could disengage as he rides by, right?
Like no, because she's double moving.
Well, Pipsky wouldn't, but you would.
I mean, they can't... I can take the dodge action.
Or you would take disengage so that they don't get...
No, it only works if Pipsky disengages.
Okay.
Oh, okay. No, she has to attack to not draw opportunity attacks. So, yeah, they'll both be able to take attacks for opportunity at me at disadvantage.
Okay, so the first one at disadvantage is just an 8. And there's going to be multiple of these because you actually ran past 4 different skeletons.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, because you ran right through this gap, right?
Yeah.
And then there's also 2 up here by Kellen.
Oh, cool, yeah.
That said, they're all at disadvantage, so...
They are.
The next one's a 20 to hit, even at disadvantage.
That'll hit me.
Okay, that is 9 damage. Slashing.
Jeff has lost 1% of his hit points.
Third attack is an 11, no good. And 13, also no good.
So just the 1 for 9 hit for 9?
The rest of them miss.
All right.
That you?
That's me.
Okay. All right, let's get into the meat here. Well, actually, will we? I don't know that she would. Huh. Okay. Mival Reel is up, and she's going to come down the stairs and begin walking forward at a fairly leisurely pace. Does not seem to exhibit any particular worry. Sword still in hand. Picked up from where it fell on the ice.
Cool trick. Chains were hot.
Back at the line behind you, the Frozen Herald takes a step forward and swings its great axe at a skeleton, like you do. It's gonna hit. Actually, both of those are going to miss, as they are barely parried. And then some vampires spawn up. And let's see. They can run on walls, so they're just going to try and run around these skeletons and just sort of jump up between the pillars of the portico and run in sort of the same direction that Kellen and Alec are. Rook, you're up.
I suppose Claw and I'll move a bit closer. Kind of be able to see all what's going on. And
Rook to A3.
And we'll
Why
both...
have I never made that joke? We've been playing this for how long and I've never made that joke?
Good job. We'll both take the dog at dog at just...
Take the dog action.
Take the doge action. The doge and I will take the dodge action.
I'm really glad I didn't spit beer through my nose. Okay, good stuff. And then we are back to the top of the round where Mireille is, who will now step out of the doorway and drop back a few paces to be closer to Alec. Oh, right. I forgot. There's a cool thing I can do that I should do. I should remember how to do it. There's a way to polymorph tokens. So that I can have Muriel actually in his other form. I just have to remember how to do it. Because I set it up like 3 weeks ago.
That's a neat trick. Is it like spinning your token? Is it spinning? It's a neat trick?
Of course. Speaking of spinning of tokens. Okay. I remembered how to do it. So we do this. Polymorph. Boom. Okay. So now we have a much bigger, scarier token on the board. He is not pretty looking. And
okay, so this is like Skyrim vampire, not like Buffy vampire.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking wrinkly forehead.
I mean, I'm sure there's some wrinkles on that forehead.
I mean, yeah, that's fair.
But large bat ears.
I was thinking Ekimara. Gray skin. Witcher.
No. Yeah, Witcher vampires are also not pretty. So steps over to Alec and says, well,
he can see me.
Good point. Steps over to Nushka and says, well, what's your plan?
The same thing we just said it was.
The same thing we do everything, Pinky. I hit things with an axe. So, do you know how you eat an elephant? One axe swing at a time.
I'm glad you said the Pinky reference. I was...
So it stalks forward a little bit. Kellen.
Where's she at? Is she even on the map yet?
She is. She's back up this way.
About 15 feet past where Mireille is.
Yep. 20.
Yeah, 20.
I will fly forward 25 feet.
Yeah, she's currently 65 feet away from you. So 20 forward, take you to 45 feet away. and just above Nushka's shoulder.
And since I moved, I can... I guess I could ready an action, couldn't I?
Yeah.
So when the anti-magic field goes off, what's the radius on it?
10 feet.
And so no magic can be cast within 10 feet of you, or magic does not work within 10 feet?
Magic does not work.
Okay. So you could do AoE that included the anti-magic field, it just wouldn't work in the anti-magic field.
I mean, I know it puts it, yeah, you at a disadvantage, but the point is to...
No.
Get
I'm just...
in there and slug the shit out of her, hoping that that works.
I'm going to ready an action to cast a spell when she gets within 5 feet of Nushka.
When Mavariel gets within 5 feet of Nushka?
Correct.
Okay.
If Mavariel gets within 5 feet of Nushka.
When you attack or cast a spell, so when you cast that anti-magic field, your invisibility will drop.
Yeah.
I know. I have a contingency.
You're up, Alec.
I'll double move.
Oh yes, the great double move. that will get you straight up next to Mavariel.
Okay, then back me off 10 feet.
Okay.
You may wanna. I don't know. I don't know if I would go that close, but
I have to be.
Well, no, I get that. I'm just saying, don't pop it yet.
I can't.
Let her come to us.
I know what I'm doing.
All right, fine.
What are your mechanics for potion taking?
Bonus action? For yourself.
Okay.
Action if you're administering it to somebody else.
What about, like, shoving it down their throat?
That's administering it to somebody else. That's an action.
He wasn't going to uncork it, though. He was just going to shove it down, and then when it's lodged in there, just whack, in the real hard.
Slowly digested over it. 1,000 years.
That's why you gotta throat punch them as it's going down. It's faster that way.
Okay. All right, Nushka, you're up.
Very Looney Tunes bomb in the stomach kind of thing.
Well, here's a stupid question. I can't see Alec.
Yeah, that's true.
That's also not a question.
That's why it was stupid.
What happens when Pipsky barrels into Alec?
Yeah, right through.
Probably a dexterity save from Pipsky.
That's not great.
Holy shit, I hit an invisible wall.
That's a 9.
Callan's doing the fucking walls of force again. Except this one was slightly spongy.
And it went,
well, no, never mind. Alex wearing plate, isn't he?
What am I wearing?
And it went oof. Nothing. When I hit it.
you're like the what is it, the Fantastic Four that can go invisible. You have to take the clothes off.
No.
I was just thinking, how much would that suck in D&D if you had to
you wouldn't limit it, wouldn't it?
Doff your armor.
So does anything happen?
Yeah, so Pipsky ends up sort of falling prone next to Alec, you could make a dexterity save of your own to land on your feet or not.
Actually, I automatically do, I believe.
Oh?
Because you have a feet for your feet?
Yeah, the mounted combatant feet.
A foot feet.
The feet feet.
Feet feet!
Sorry.
Star Wars.
Yep.
You should add some Castlevania music to your playlist sometime. It makes great battle music.
I've never played them.
I have advantage. If you fall off your mount and descend no more than 10 feet, you can land on your feet if you're not incapacitated.
That is quite convenient. You land on your feet.
Cool. I somersault over Alec and go straight forward.
Grandmama with a totally. I meant to do that.
Pipsky just never got quite
that. Well, so you're on your feet. You're 10 feet away from Mavalriel.
Yep. I'll move up. And
punch it right in the mouth.
Yeah. I'll rage. Reckless attack.
Okay.
-5.
This would be when I would have to take my readied action, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, and actually that'll happen before this.
Before the attack.
So
much for letting her come to us, I guess. Okay. And I have to spend it or I lose a spell?
Mm-hmm.
What's the range for me to her? I don't think I'm close
enough
now.
I want to say it's 40 feet. 50 feet.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It fizzles.
Okay.
Can't retarget it to the vampire.
You can tell me not to move up.
No, no, it's fine. I didn't think we were going to move so aggressively. I thought we were going to let her saunter towards us.
Oh, yes, the barbarian fighter was going to just sit and wait.
Were you going to turn Grandmama into a T-Rex?
No.
Grandma T-Rex. Knitting with the little arms.
How do I separate these tokens?
Which what?
Him and Pipsky.
Pipsky.
I wondered why Pipsky wasn't underneath you.
Did I leave her somewhere?
Maybe. Checking. I don't know where Pipsky went. That's okay. We could just make a new Pipsky.
Pipsky 2.0.
Beep. So yeah, Pipsky is prone next to Alec.
Where the hell?
We're both moving at the same time.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, Pipsky's on like half slots.
There you go.
It's weird.
Prone.
Okay.
All I can I heard in the voice that Cody did for the shopkeeper in Barovia, like, we make new Pipsky.
Blinsky's toys. Lots of fun for little girls and boys.
Ugh. That just makes me think of the child catcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
I haven't seen that since I was like 4 years old.
He's no fun. He's
well,
no
when you're 4 years old, the child catcher is not exactly fun.
Okay, so my attacks, you're all done, Cody?
Yeah. No, I can't do anything. I'm too far away.
Okay, that's a 19 to hit.
A 19 will hit.
Thirty-three damage.
Okay.
The second one's a miss. Third one's a crit.
Okay.
Thirty-five damage. And in the middle of it, I am telling Malvario, we have a plan.
As the two explodes land, Malvario grunts and is, oh, shit! You hit hard for your age.
This coming from the chick who's been down here for 900 years, she hits her again.
That's you?
Yes, that's me.
Okay, Mev Aurel is up. You know what? Go ahead and make a persuasion check.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
What is my persuasion? That's a 15. I'm not lying.
It's her turn next.
If she's going to try and fry me, she's going to try and fry me. I get it.
She's going to take a few steps forward, and then is going to deliberately leave your space. So if you want an opportunity attack, you can take it.
Okay. That's a 19.
That'll hit.
And it's on somebody else's turn. So... And I rolled 1, 1, 2, so they all get re-rolled. It's 32 damage.
Okay. So she grunts and stumbles forward again, looking bloodied at this point, but then is going to move in on Mireille and goes in for a combination of attacks with her Svihander that is emitting frost is sort of eternally falling off the sword as she swings it. But also, as Mireille is ducking and bobbing and moving around, she also puts out a hand towards it, I guess, at this point. And there's a sort of a purplish glowing energy that comes from her hand towards the vampire. And, yeah. So... one of the attacks with the blade hits very soundly, and then she goes in with the hand, the spellish sort of effect. Come on. Okay, and both of those connect, and you can see as the purplish sort of wavy glowing beam between them intensifies. You can see Mireille's sort of already vampiric shriveled face becoming even more gaunt and stretched and pained. And he definitely appears to have been hurt in some way by this, although there's no obvious wound.
Our title track, They Left Me In Here, was composed by Daniel Rann as part of the Beyond Skyrim Bruma original soundtrack and is being utilized under Creative Commons 4 Attribution Sharealike license. Enjoy what you heard? Check us out online at RancorsBrothel.com and the Rancors Brothel Facebook page. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share this show with your friends. Want to chat? Follow us on Twitter at Rancors_Brothel or by emailing therancorsbrothel@gmail.com. To interact with other fans, check out the Fans of the Rancors Brothel Facebook page. Most of all, keep circulating the tapes. Much love, everybody.